I'm Dr. Joey Only. When I'm in Victoria, I listen to Guerrilla Radio on 101.9 FM CFUV Radio.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, and you know, things are a little different today. We're leaving the regular GR format to do our funding drive show. That's right, it's that time of year again. Hadn't you heard? Well, we'll be getting to the ballyhooing and barking, you know, midway style, and we're all doing this to excite and delight your ears. It's a census of sorts of our listeners' sensibilities, and ultimately a question we seek you to answer, to wit, do we make you happy? Well, if the answer is yes, or better yet, hell yeah, then we're providing today the opportunity for you to prove your love in the only way our focus group could figure, with money! Yeah! Well, now I'll touch base with a couple old eight pals to get their take on independent journalism and the state of it today, play some show clips of the year past, and feature some favored musical clips. I'll be ably joined in this conspiracy of finance by CFUV broadcaster Janine Bancroft and local horticultural guru Christina Nikolic. But first, a musical act I played quite a bit as of the last year, or a little bit more. It's Canada's own Hawksley Workman. Stick around for more.
Oh,
Well, yeah, good old Hawksley Worksman. There he is with his album. I really dig that. That is Cheetah, Old Cheetah, and Teenage Cats are the track. You know, I've been playing a lot of Hawksley's off of that disc for, I don't know, a number of shows. And the more I listen to it, the more I like it, I'll tell you that. Well, yeah, it is, again, it's the 2017 CFUV Funding Drive. I'm joined in studio today by Wings of Change host Janine Bancroft and longtime CFUV and Guerrilla Radio supporter, the chef in the kitchen that is the Organic Gardener's Pantry, Christina Niklik. Hey, Janine, now we've been at this, Janine, for ages, right?
Lifetimes.
It seems like it sometimes, like since back when Henry VIII was on the throne. But you started contributing your events listings way back, if I get this right, it was 2002, and that's like more than 700 or something shows ago of my show. But you began your own show around the same time, right? It's like, are you keeping track of how many Wings of Change episodes you've...
Well, it's Wins, first
or
of
wins,
all.
Or Wins, sorry.
Obviously, you haven't listened to all
of them.
I don't
listen to your show.
And it was you're the guy responsible for bringing me on to the radio. And when I was publishing the Left Coast Events email, at that time just was sending around different activist events, and you thought it would be a great thing for your show. And that's how I got hooked on radio and got my own show a couple of years later, I think. So honestly, I don't keep track. I really don't know. I'm on every other week, though, so... I'm not nearly as busy as you are. It's a lot of work.
You're sharing with Mehdi Najjari, and Mehdi's been here for a long, long time. He does
Hidden News.
Hidden News. Get the shows right here. That's a good start. Wow, that's terrific. And Christina, how many? This is number what for the funding drive for you?
It must be year number 9.
9 years. Yeah. Wow, they can't get rid of us. They've been trying. It's like a bad stain, right?
Well, you know, it's like weeds. Weeds always come back.
Oh, it always has to be horticultural with you, doesn't it?
Of course. Well, I'm an earth girl, aren't I?
Well, that's terrific. And Christina and Janine are both going to be taking calls. And what you do is you phone up. You guys know the drill, right? You call up and you say, yeah, okay, I think you guys are really worthwhile, and I'll give you some money. And the phone number here is 250-721-8700. And Janine, what happens when they call? What can they expect?
You know, they can call or they can text to 250-721-8700. Just put donate in the text. And there's also an online place, supportcfuv.ca. And unlike in previous years, we don't have quite so many prizes. We do have Fund Drive partners. Many of those companies that offered prizes in previous years are now just supporting us with cash, which is nice. So we're doing it in more of a PBS style, where for $25 you get a mug, $50 or more you get a mug and a record bag, etc. But, you know, really the thing is that we're supporting this publicly funded community, non-commercial station and keeping it commercial free and keeping this kind of great programming on the air. How many fund drives have you done, Chris?
You know, I did my first one with Sharon her...
Alan?
O'Dane? Yeah. Before I had my own show, and that was 1998, I think it was. So I don't know, and I've done one ever since.
And every year, the station has reached its goal.
I can't remember. I think there was a couple of years that we sort of fell a little bit short, but almost for the last, I don't know, 10 or 12 or whatever years, yeah, we've done really well.
Even if people have a buck, so we know you're out there and we know you care and you want to be part of the team, right?
Well, yeah, and we've gotten a little bit more ambitious this year than last. We're trying to reach a 30,000 plateau, which is, that's a first as far as I know. So we really need some help here. And when I came on the air, we were at 20,000 or 21,000 and change, and there's only a few more days left. So we've got a long way to go yet.
Dial and donate. What do you think, Christina?
Yeah, come on.
You're
money,
a donor.
Money.
You're one of our supporters. Why did you send us money?
Because CFUV is unlike any other radio station, and I would be ignorant about so many things if I weren't listening to the spoken word programs of CFUV, and I have discovered amazing bands on the CFUV, the basement closet sessions and such. So really, it's one of a kind. You're not really... No, you not get the same quality and diversity if you're listening to the greater, the bigger commercial station. So I have a soft spot for CFEV because it's different. It's quirky, it's fun, it's local, and they're highly dedicated and very professional volunteers that work every day that we need to support and acknowledge.
Well, yeah, you know, and I always say you might not always like what's on the program, but you'll always like the programmers, and especially the kind of passion that each programmer brings to this station, whether it's the music or spoken word, a lot of the cultural programming as well. It's and, you know, one of the things we do with our money is get new technology, and I haven't figured out how to use the new computer. So one of our overworked volunteers is in here right now trying to get my next selection to come up.
I could do an announcement while we wait.
Yes, do.
The CD Saturdays have been held across the island since January, actually, and we only have three to go. There is CD Sundays being held this coming Sunday, March 19th, in both Campbell River and in Duncan. And then Port Alberni will have its CD Saturday on April 1st. Seed swaps, local vendors, plants, nurseries, knowledge, garden-related stuff. So it's a must if you're interested in growing your own flowers and food.
Well, we went to the CD Saturday, the Victoria one, just a little while ago, and that's really grown. I mean, it's hugely popular now.
Yeah, there's 2,000 plus people in attendance every year. It's very cool.
Well, and of course, the other thing I forgot to say is the thing I really love about the station is that it's so, you know, like ad hoc. There's doors, and everybody's coming and going. It's not none of this hypothermically sealed.
Hermetically.
Thank you. Okay, it's time. So, you know what happened? You listen to these shows maybe, and I do other stuff as well. I go downtown and I record events as they happen, and I don't always put those little clips and tidbits on. I don't always get them on the air, but I do put them on the guerrilla-radio.com website. And you may remember that Justin Trudeau was in town not very long ago, there's a lot of people that are a little less than pleased with old Justin for some of his reversals on policies. I went down to get some tape, and here's a couple minutes of some tape I got with Justin, well, covering Justin's trip, so stick around for that. Here now, down here at Centennial Square in the city of Victoria. The city's having an esteemed visitor today. Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of the country, will be here. Ostensibly, he's going to be meeting with the mayor to discuss infrastructure issues and the like. There's also going to be, predictably enough, demonstrations and demonstrators here. So there will be people here, and I'll see if I can talk to some of them. So another of the issues, there's many, of course, is the Site C Dam in the northeast of the province. I'm standing out here in front of City Hall, and you've got a Site C, or a no Site C, I should say, button. Can you tell me first who you are and who you represent?
I'm Terry Dance-Spennick, and I'm a volunteer with Sierra Club and the Rolling Justice Bus. And we're the folks who went up to Paddle the Peace last summer and saw firsthand what's going on up there, and we are totally opposed to this $9 billion project that's going to cost taxpayers far more than $9 billion, raise our hydro rates, and it's going to flood beautiful farmland that could feed a million people, and also flouts the First Nations rights, and that really concerned us. We met with some First Nation people, and they are really... They've launched legal challenges, and they just feel that Trudeau and Christy Clark have flouted. You know, they say they respect Indigenous rights, but they're not in practice.
Well, of course, the Prime Minister is going to be here any moment here.
Exactly.
Would you be here anyway, or you're here especially to see him?
We're here especially to see him, but also we go every Thursday to the Trans-Canada Highway and wave this banner. Last week, 451 cars honked in support. It's all people going out to Colwood, Langford. So the people care. People, you know, they know that this is a boondoggle.
Well, thanks a lot for talking to me.
Thank you.
All right, so there's some other rabble here. And then one says, I'd like resident orcas to be here when the oil is gone. Oh, that's a good sentiment. Can you tell me who you guys are and why you're here?
I'm Gina Nikoloff. I'm a marine biology student at the University of Victoria. And I think that the orcas aren't being considered fully in this decision. Not only is an oil spill detrimental to the orcas' health, but the noise pollution with the 5 times increase in tanker traffic is also a huge concern for their communication and their feeding patterns. So I think that Justin Trudeau needs to think more about that for our local economy and our local wildlife.
Well, and last year there was a lot of optimism. There was new calving, there was new calves born, the population. This year it seems different. There are dead whales. Do we know why these whales are dying?
Climate change may be a factor, but it's very unknown what is happening actually with those whale deaths. Factors such as the blob, the massive warm water that was off the coast of Vancouver Island in 2013 to 2015 may have been a factor in increasing parasites and disease. It's not fully known, and that's why protection at this time is so important.
Well, and I see your sign says that climate leaders don't build pipelines, but the leader of our country said okay to the Kinder Morgan pipeline.
Yeah, and this is like making it so that we are not able to meet our climate targets, which we discussed in Paris, and I think that this is just completely the wrong decision and very detrimental to the environment. So.
Yeah, and that's just some of the tape I got down there when Justin came. I didn't wait for Justin himself, actually, because he was late being fashionable, and I left. It was raining and cold. But a lot of people stayed, and they let him know that they weren't totally pleased with his reversal on the democratic principles, like you heard there in the Site C, and environmental with the pipelines and everything else. And we do have an election, by the way, coming up here provincially pretty soon, like a couple of weeks' time, actually. Let's have our voices heard on that. Well, you know, beyond that being about raising money for CFUV, the theme of the show today is, you know, how does independent media producers, how do they manage to make and break stories against all the odds? Now, Dave Lindorf is an old school journalist. He cut his teeth working at the dailies in Connecticut, Minneapolis, and L.A. way back in 2004. Dave went digital, and in a big way, too. He founded the website thiscan'tbehappening.net, and as this site says, the site was begun, quote, as a blog by Dave in a chaotic one-man effort to afflict the powerful. But as the site gained recognition and readers, Dave realized it would take more than one journalist to cause any significant degrees of affliction. He approached three longtime friends, political comrades, and colleagues, John Grant, Lynn Washington, and Charles M. Young, and asked if they would be interested in joining him to found a news collective, thus multiplying the site's afflictive power by 400%. Now, all three sharing Dave's profound frustration with the shallowness and the fawning complicity of the establishment corporate media. Thank God that's all over with. And with the establishment not-for-profit media, too, signed on with alacrity and a shared desire to raise hell. Well, since then, after the loss of Chuck to brain cancer, the collective has grown with the addition of Dave's brother Gary as resident poet and two new journalists, Radical MD Jess Gu of Seattle, and longtime Latino activist and journalist Alfredo Lopez. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's always my pleasure, and you've bailed me out a couple times.
Hope you're making a lot of money.
Well, we've got more than 20 grand, which, you know, south of the border doesn't count for much because they're Canadian dollars. But up here, it means an awful lot to us, Dave. Dave, you've shared your wisdom on this show many times over these last crazy years, and you've also written a bunch of books that I didn't usually use in my intro of you. And one of those, of course, is one that we're going to offer today as a spot prize. It's called Killing Time, an investigation into the death row case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Well, now, Dave, first of all, Mumia, he was back in the news. His health has been bad. They're trying to get some redress, not only for Mumia, but in the prison system, too. What's going on there? What's the latest?
Well, he has a bad case of Hep C that he contracted in the prison, and like all prisoners in almost every state in the U.S. and in the federal prisons, they don't supply the prisoners with state-of-the-art cure that now has been developed by several drug companies that has a 90% cure rate but costs $80,000 per prisoner to treat. So he sued in federal court, and he won an order to get treatment. We're waiting to see whether the state prison will appeal that, and they may not, because they may be afraid that if it goes, it's such a good ruling and a powerful ruling that ordering them to treat him, that if it goes to the appellate courts, they may well uphold it, and then it would apply to all the prisoners in the state of Pennsylvania and cost billions of dollars because it's an epidemic in the prison system.
Well, and but they think that, you know, you put somebody in jail, you do have a responsibility, whether it's a prison or a camp or anything else, and if you deny
it. His attorney has said that what they're following right now, the health protocol they're following for prisoners is appropriate for Auschwitz or Buchenwald.
Oh, Jesus. Well, that's pretty harsh criticism. Well, now, Dave, you know, because we're so truncated today, you guys are trying to raise money for thiscan'tbehappening.net, the site I mentioned in the intro. How is your fundraising going, and how do you manage, as I said in the intro as well, how do you manage to do independent journalism?
By our bootstraps. I have to say our fundraising sucks. All we do is just ask people occasionally to send money if they support our cause, and every time we send out a little notice and remind people that they're supposed to support alternative journalism, we get a few generous donations, as much as $100, and we get a lot of little ones, you know, 5 and 10, which is great, but the total that we get in total year is generally around $5,000 that way, which is really pathetic. If all of our subscribers, you know, just all our subscribers, the people who ask to be notified every time there's a new article posted, were to give us, say, $20, we would right away have, $10,000-$15,000 to work with, once a year. If all our readers would give us occasionals and stuff who value what we do, would give us $5 a year, we'd have, well over $150,000, and we would really be a force to reckon with. But people just don't support alternative media with their money. It's pathetic.
Well, maybe it's such a blizzard of information out there to choose from, and we're used to, a lot of us, especially on the left sort of side of things, getting things for free. But maybe a lot of people just can't find you. Now, where can they find you? How can they help?
thiscan'tbehappening.net, and there's a PayPal button on it, and there's an address if you're afraid of PayPal and you want to send us a check or cash in the mail. But, you know, I really think people need to rethink this. If you subscribe to a magazine like The Nation or Atlantic or Mother Jones, you're willing to pay $20-$30 a year to get those magazines, and if you took that $30, split it into five, and sent $5 each to six sites that you really rely on for your alternative news, you would be, and if everybody did that, the equivalent of one magazine subscription, which almost everybody makes, the alternative media would be like, it would light up. It would be incredible.
Well, maybe.
And so I just urge everybody to do that. And if we happen to be one of those six that get the $5, that's great. If not, it's still great.
Well, Dave,
don't give huge amounts of money to Truth Out or Common Dreams or something and then think, okay, I took care of that, because they all steal our stuff. you got to go to the original places that are doing the actual hard work of investigating and reporting, and give them the $5.
Well, okay, so Dave, so if somebody gives us $50 on this show, we'll give them The Killing Time, an investigation into the death row case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, your book. We've got only three of those, $50 or more, and just say to the people on the phone, whether it's Christina or Janine or somebody else, yeah, I want that spot prize, and if it's still there, we'll mail it to you, or you can come and get it at the station. Thanks a lot, Dave. thiscan'tbehappening.net. Good luck this year, eh?
Okay, and good luck to you, eh?
Okay, then. Bye-bye. Now I'm going to play a bit more music, and then we'll get back to the money-making. Stick around.
There are beads that wrap around your knees that crackle into the dark, like a walk in the park, like a hole in your head, like the feeling.
That's Nutrimilk Hotel, and that's off the very first disc of the now defunct band On Every Island. Something about that guy, he just disappeared. Mystery Man, you know, just walked away, you know, just when he was getting huge. But all these alt band types, they all say, oh man, this Nutrimilk Hotel was such a huge influence on me and blah blah blah, but nobody knows what became of the front guy. So well, here we are again. We're asking for money, right? And Janine and Christina are sitting here, and we've had some success, actually. Jason G, thanks a lot, 25. Christina N, I wonder who that could be, 25 as well. Vivian S, and 50. And Ross C, what a monster, 250 Beanos. Woo-hoo. So that's $350. That's my goal for the thing. But don't stop giving right now, because we still need loads of money more. We're trying to get to 30,000 this year. Janine, what about the prizes?
Oh, well, you know, the prizes that we get to listen to CFUV, and especially this is one of my favorite segments, and I really, really appreciate that Christina is able to help now that I have kind of, quotes, a real job, and I'm not able always to do the segment on your show. And now, thank you, Christina, for
this
helping.
This is the lead-in, and Christina is going to begin with the Left Coast News events.
Yeah, absolutely, and you are so welcome. The Thinking Garden, remember there was a screening of a movie, of a film a couple of weeks ago, and they had such success that they put on a second free public screening of The Thinking Garden, a film about South African women sowing the seeds of change. It's happening tonight, Wednesday, March 15th at 7 p.m. at the David Lamb Auditorium here at UVic. And our very own Nancy Turner endorsed the film, said this is a great opportunity to showcase this community garden that was founded by women who brought it to life, and it will inspire countless others.
Oh, well, that sounds terrific. Yes. And what do you got, Janine?
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening tomorrow, actually. There's a protest outside the Trump Hotel, again, this time in Vancouver, again. And this is with hotel and food service workers. I'll bet they have a lot to say. And their allies are going to be meeting in Vancouver at 5 o'clock, starting at 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock tomorrow night, just for an hour, in Vancouver at the Trump Tower, as they're going to be doing in cities across North America. Members of Unite Here, who are taking on Donald Trump as an employer. It'd be interesting to find out what kind of an employer he is. And also on Thursday?
On Thursday, March 16th, we have the Victoria Social Justice Film Night, which is held every third Thursday of the month. This time it's at 7 p.m. at the usual spot, BCGU Hall at 2994 Douglas Street. And the film is another great film by John Pilger. It's called The Coming War on China. That doesn't really sound like a lot of fun. So John Pilger, The Coming War on China, tomorrow night, BCGU Hall, 7 p.m. And the admission is free.
Yeah, well, and by donation, I think.
And he's so terrific, too. Pilger's been around forever. I mean,
you had him on your show quite a few times.
I had him on once.
Oh, okay.
I had a second time where I'd screwed up, and anyway, it's a long story.
Try again.
Yeah.
Also tomorrow night, Bev Sellers. Now, I had her on my show the last time around, and she's really a cool Indigenous woman who was a former chief of a region up near the Mount Polly Mine, so she has a lot to say about that. She's now the chair of the First Nations Women Advocating Responsible Mining and has tons to say about that, and she's going to be in town at Camosun College Thursday at 7 o'clock in the Wilna Thomas Building 234. And the big event on Thursday
is another Eunice Toten Camp benefit concert, because the Eunice Toten are still supporting camping out and talking about pipelines. The powers that be seem to be hell-bent to run one or other pipeline through the ancestral areas. Tomorrow night, Thursday, March 16th, and the venue, believe it or not, is the Alex Golden Hall. They scored. Doors open at 7, event begins at 7:30, runs until 10 p.m., and music will be by Natu Beerwolf, Betty Supple, Zuby Arrows, Ray Spoon, and Compassion Gorilla.
I like tickets, that last one.
Tickets from $15 to $20, but no one will be turned away for lack of funds.
Yeah, but it is a fundraiser. They've been up there for years, and they're doing great work. There would be pipelines all across northern BC
by now. I detect a theme here.
Yeah, it's ongoing, isn't it? Friday also, the Radical Rants, the monthly gathering is happening at the Spiral Cafe, and their theme also is the resilience, and to do with Indigenous land defenders. Sanders. And then Sunday,
March 19th, Love Over Fear, a rally against racial discrimination everywhere, but especially at Jack Poole Plaza in Vancouver, Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Yeah, that's probably, besides Pipeline, the other thing that is racial discrimination, all sorts of extremism happening, and we want to show support and solidarity opposing that nonsense.
Yeah, the International Day to Eradicate Racism. I remember going to that big march years ago and in Vancouver. Obviously,
it didn't work.
Yeah. It's like the International Day to Eliminate Poverty. That doesn't seem to be happening. And then finally, Chris, Tuesday, March 21st at 7 p.m., the film The Wanted 18, which is an animated documentary film by Amer Shomali and Paul Cowan about 18 reluctant cows that were declared a threat to the state of Israel and became symbols of the first intifada. This is a great time to get some more information about the history of the region, as there's new information showing that most Canadians actually support the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement. So Tuesday, 7 p.m., David Strong, Building C-118, sponsored by Independent Jewish Voices, Victoria Kairos, and the Social Justice Studies Department.
Well, and that BDS movement, they're facing increased resistance in Israel and outside of it, and I guess it's being effective, but things are hotting up. Well, thanks
a
lot.
So effective that you can't now travel to Israel if you support BDS,
and
right?
Even if you're Jewish, which is really odd, because you know Israel was the homeland and the haven of world Jewry, and now that's not exactly the case. It depends on your politics. I think they're having a little bit of trouble with Netanyahu, similar to maybe what they're going to experience with Trump as things go forward. But anyway, okay. Well, thanks a lot for the events and always for bringing that, Janine, every week in and week out,
and
with
Christine.
The able assistance of Christina.
You're
and Nicola.
Very welcome. Yeah, thanks Janine for putting these together.
Well, and so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a bit of music. This is going back to the Wayback Machine. That I, through technology, I got off my tape deck and off of a computer. And then, anyway, so I'm going to chase up Patrick Henningsen. He's way down there in Arizona, and talk a little bit about his site, 21st Century Wire. And you might notice there's a thematic continuity here with this, with the next song. With that, this is Guerrilla Radio. You're listening to CFUV, and it's our funding drive. Yes, it is. Stick around.
You gotta spend all day in bed with me, oh yeah. If you want all this to be free, you gotta spend all day in bed with me, oh yeah. If you want all this to be free.
21st Century Schizoid Man. Yeah, that's going way back. That's King Crimson off their very first Court of the Crimson, in the Court of the Crimson King. Well, Patrick Henningsen is a freelance journalist, co-founder of the online news site 21st Century Wire, and host of its consciousness-expanding radio program Sunday Wire. Patrick and crew have since 2009 worked to produce independent news with an emphasis on international coverage that acts as counterpoint to the position staked out by the corporate and state presses of the formerly free world. He's reported from the Middle East, and he's even now trying to get back there as the 6-plus-year-old campaign to undo Syria and the greater region enters a new phase. Welcome back to the program, Patrick.
Hi, Chris.
Well, now, Patrick, tell us, for those who haven't been to your site, who haven't heard your great show on Sundays, what's 21st Wire all about, 21st Century Wire?
We started off as a blog, about 7 years ago, and it's now a sort of good mid-size news and analysis website. We're totally independent, non-affiliated, no foundation funding, no trust funding, totally independent, and we've got some fantastic writers, and we're trying to do the job and fill some of the gaps that are being left by the mainstream media in terms of real reporting, especially on the ground in places like Syria, for instance. So we've been able to do some really groundbreaking reporting, I think, over the last couple of years from that part of the world. And we're hoping to do more this spring. We're trying to mount an investigative fund in order to get over to that country and other countries right now, hot zones in the Middle East, to do some reporting from the ground and then transmit that back via radio, print, and video to our listeners and readers across North America and Europe.
Well, and it's not always, it's not all dour, too. I listened to your program Sunday past here, and you had this college basketball-themed broadcast, based on the fake news and the top fake news, the Final Four fake newsters. What's your take now on this whole fake news meme?
Yeah, we've got to keep it light once in a while because there's just so much stuff being thrown at everybody. But anyway, the real problem isn't fake news itself, although there's fake news out there. There's fake websites with fake stories for clicks and money. It's a big business. The bigger problem is the mainstream media is the biggest purveyor of fake news traditionally, in terms of especially promoting wars and so forth. But it's also the dumbing down of society in general, to the point where people aren't smart enough to find out what's fake and what's not, because they're simply too lazy to go check and double-check a story. And social media, everyone's being herded onto one platform, which is Facebook, so it's obviously easier to call a crisis when one company has a monopoly over where everybody is looking and seeing all their information. That's the real problem, the dumbing down of society and the monopoly on social media, that is Facebook.
Well, what about this ironic aspect of this whole communications revolution, where there is such a blizzard of information that people finally, they, like as David Bowie maybe said, Big Brother, we want you. We want somebody to focus it down for us because it's just too much. It's overload.
Yeah, it is. It is. But there's also a danger in too much consolidation. And I think that's what we're seeing now. I think the fake news crisis or faux crisis, like some people call it, is a result of this over-consolidation, because that's the corporate model, Chris. It's about devouring competition. It's about getting monopolies formed and having less choice in the marketplace. That's the corporate model. It's the total antithesis of what the Silicon Valley promised the world back in 1998, 1999, when the internet was coming online. And so what we're seeing now is kind of a horrific dystopia of a digital world compared to the one that held so much promise in its egalitarian aspects and its massive amounts of choice. Everybody's being herded into smaller and smaller sort of areas. They're big areas, but they're small in terms of plurality of opinion and also in terms of, I think, dynamic choice. There was more dynamic choice online 15 years ago than there is today in terms of the amounts of, where people are heading. People aren't on forums anymore, for instance. They used to be on forums and activating forums and creating real communities. And now Facebook has mastered the art of hurting the public and also homogenizing the experience.
Well, there is a backlash to that building, just as there was a backlash to corporate media before it. Well, Patrick, there's plenty of fake news coming out of Syria, but the crisis is not fake. The crisis is real. You've been out in that region before. You were out in Beirut. We talked from there once. You're trying to get back there. Now tell me, first of all, how can people help you get there, and what do you hope to do once you do get back?
We've got a travel fund. We're currently setting up, hoping to be there this spring, maybe next month, and that's up at 21stcenturywire.com with the donate button, and hopefully you can maybe post a link to that as well. But we're hoping to go and take more testimonies from people, residents in places like Aleppo and liberated areas where the terrorists have left, for instance, and also Palmyra and some of these ancient sites that have been desecrated by ISIS and so forth, and also down to the Golan Heights, to transmit a story and stories and people's stories that are not being transmitted through CNN, NBC, and other mainstream outlets. And this is why the narrative is so skewed. There's simply not the right information coming out from the majority of a country like Syria, and I could say the same for Yemen as well.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Yeah, Yemen is a total disaster and being ignored as well. Well, in the last minute that we have here, Patrick, you've been collaborating with a terrific English journalist, Vanessa Beely. Do you want to tell me a little bit about her work and the intrepidness of it?
Yeah, well, Vanessa is a fearless independent journalist, and she's come under fire from the people who support the so-called moderate rebels in Syria, and all the Western Foundation-funded people really attacked her because she's been right on the money. Seeing that everything that she's been saying and reporting, and she exposed, really broke the white helmet story wide open in 2015, and now a lot of people are more aware of what's going on there, shadow state building projects, subterfuge that's being hidden through NGOs and other third sector organizations. That's one thing that she's absolutely excelled at, and also taking testimonies of residents on video that will be used in the future as evidence if there are war crimes trials, to get the real story, not the one that's been pumped out, the rhetoric and the hyperbole that's been flooded in our mainstream media. This is real stuff, talked about real experiences of real Syrians, real, not activists that are foreign or terrorists that are mercenaries that are basically supplying CNN with all their data and points of view, and The Guardian and the BBC. These are real Syrians who have suffered under the Western-backed mercenary brigades, terror brigades that have infested that country over the last, now in its seventh year of the war. It's really, really sad, very tragic. It has to come to an end soon. And one of the only ways that we can do is to get real information out for people so they can be better informed, and then transmit that to their elected officials, for instance.
Well, the man's Patrick Henningsen. The site is 21stcenturywire.com. Thanks a lot, Patrick, for coming on today, and good luck, eh?
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Bye-bye. Now I'm going to take a little musical break here and come back. We'll pitch a little bit. And then I've got Peter Varon was a guy who programmed up here. He died last year. I went to his services a few months ago and got some tape. And I'm going to play a little bit of that. But first, a little bit of this, and then a little bit of, hey, getting back to what's going on with this fundraising thing.
You gotta spend all day.
And of course, this is Transglobal Underground that I've been using as my little theme background, whatever. And this is Impossible Broadcasting, but this isn't impossible. We're doing it, but it would be impossible if it wasn't for some, you know, all the good volunteers and all our good listeners. I mean, one hand clapping and all. It doesn't make any difference if we say something and there's nobody out there to hear it, right, Janine?
Right, and we do have some paid staff, which is really great, but most of us are volunteers.
A couple hundred, yeah.
And now, you've done really well for your show. I hope that people are going to tune in tomorrow to the Winds of Change and / Hidden News.
Shameless plugging for your own show.
Yeah, and see that number on the right-hand side, the little number in the column there?
Oh, okay.
The big number, that's where we are now.
Well, I'm going to thank Linda S. and Georgie Wilson. She's a programmer here, and she's just like the volunteer extraordinaire. Thanks for your input to the thing. My total is at 380.
That's your total.
Wow, 380. So I've made my goal, which is great. I don't want to get caned again, and it means the total so far is 21,320 of our $30,000 goal. Right.
So we got a ways to go. We only got till Friday. So
is it Friday at midnight?
I don't know. I think so. And people can. People can donate online as well, supportcfuv.ca, or to the phone 250-721-8700. You can phone or text the word donate and get a tax receipt. Plus, those mugs are pretty nice, eh, Christina, for $25?
I like them a lot. I like the black and white design, and they have a nice shape and not too big.
And on top of the $50 thing, for $50 you can get the mug and a record bag. Which is like a tote bag, but I guess we didn't want to call it that because of PBS. But you could also, if you ask, you can get a copy of Dave Lindorf's book, Killing Time, about Mumia, the death row case of Mumia Abu-Jamal.
That's a little gift from you, isn't it?
That's and a spot gift. Well, from Dave. I got to pay for the postage. So
okay.
don't order two.
People would need to make a note when they call in that they're calling specifically
right.
with $50 for...
$50 for Guerrilla Radio, and right. I'm interested in the Dave Lindorf book, and they'll put a note there. They'll tell me. I'll say, okay, send it, Dave, and then I'll get it to the station, and you'll get it. Okay? So, all right, then, if that's all taken care of, we're running out of time. Holy crap. But I've got this little piece I want to play, because Peter was a great guy. He died. He was a homeless guy, and people didn't understand him. A lot of people didn't. But at any rate, here's a little bit of Peter's ceremony that was held earlier this year. He lived out of doors, lived rough and looked rough too. He spent all his time pushing carts around, doing recycling and such. That's the way he wanted to live. He was offered by many different people shelter of various kinds, but he wouldn't take it. He was an absolute free spirit and uncompromising in that. To come to this place, I parked in the underground of the Thrifty Foods, which I'm going back to right now, and I'm entering. And this... As it turns out, and I didn't know this, but this was Peter's home in the last years. He spent more of his nights sleeping here in the underground. He was a regular sight here for years and years. Definitely a one-of-a-kind individual with a great big heart and a deep, deep concern about the environment and a determination to live his values and endure hardships that very few would consider, let alone be able to maintain over a long period of time.
I would like to mention in closing that Peter, in his early 20s, left Montreal and decided to have no contact with his family. That's with his mother, with his sister Agnes, and his nephews. My late wife, was able to get in touch with Peter's mother some 35 years ago. So every time she would see Peter around and about, either at the university or here, my wife would phone his mother in Montreal, unbeknownst to Peter. His mother was overjoyed to get news of her son. And for all those mothers here, you know what it's like to lose a son, either through death or through other reasons. And so when my wife died 5 years ago, I continued to seek out Peter regularly in this area. Sometimes he was difficult to find, as you all know, but often he was easy to find. And I continued with my wife's promise to contact his mother.
A number of years ago, I really got to know Peter because I was homeless here and in my addiction. Me and him had a deal that if I stayed sober, it didn't have to be any number of days, just sober in that moment, he would tell me a story. And I didn't understand why, but I was like, okay. And it kept me going because somebody actually cared enough to want me to be sober. And he would always say, where is your home? And I said, I don't know. And he said, you'll find it. And he helped keep me safe while I was on the streets. He helped keep me sober. I loved listening to his stories, even if they were more rants sometimes. But I will always be grateful for him and what he did in my life, and that part of this almost 7 years sober is thanks to him.
But in the end, he was just a normal guy who had a lot to say and was a compassionate man who people had time for. And I think for a lot of people, the amazing part was, and he was a homeless guy, as if that's some weird thing, that a homeless guy could have so much to say and be so interesting and be so valuable. And I think what this show of people here signifies is that every homeless person has probably got a story to tell and has got their value. And just because they're not as charismatic as Peter and haven't got as much knowledge and haven't got as much interest in world affairs and whatnot, doesn't mean they're any less valuable than Peter was to us. And I think that if we can go away having lost Peter and maybe put some of that compassion that we have for him onto another guy that maybe we haven't ever said hello to yet, who maybe hasn't got quite as much to say and maybe is a little bit challenged in different ways than what Peter was, but they all have the same amount of value and they could all do with a little bit of love and a little bit of appreciation, like the previous speaker said, a little bit of acknowledgement that they are valuable human beings just like the rest of us. And I think if each one of us could give a little bit of that love that we had for Peter onto the next person we meet that is in a dire situation, I think Peter would look on that as a fitting tribute to him. Thank you very much.
And that was a little thing that I recorded, part of it anyway, at Peter's send-off there. The full version of it is at Guerrilla Radio, guerrilla-radio-radio, guerrilla-radio.blogspot. What was that thingamajig blowing next door?
He's got a saxophone.
We got the saxophone is going, because Linda's coming up next with Garden City Jukebox. She's got a live musician. God, those guys are annoying. Long hair, and he probably smells bad, too. Fortunately, I can't smell him. He's on the other side of our not-quite-soundproof box here.
Chris.
Oh, no, I know. I'm terrible. Well, okay, here we are. We're at the end, everybody. Christina, what do you think? This is number 9 or number 10 of number 9?
I look forward number 10 already. And in the meantime, keep dialing and donating. There's still a couple days left.
721-250-8700 or go online, as Janine was saying. Where do they go online, Janine?
Supportcfuv.ca. I'm going to get bagpipes in next door next time. You can kind of hear them. Can you hear them on air?
The cat and sing. Have a sing.
Come on,
it's
you guys.
Hoxley, it's a very Hoxley workman kind of thing, you know.
It's going to be good. You know, there are these CDs of Basement Closet Sessions that people can attain by donation.
They record that. It's a big deal here in recent years, too. And they record the Basement Sessions right here where our saxophone-jigger guy is playing right now. Well, okay, I guess that's all. I'll play out with a little bit of Canada's own Hoxley Workman. Thanks, everybody, for donating. Remember, you can still do it. You can also support the station any time of year. You don't have to wait for this. But, do it now, too. It's great. It's a lot more fun that way. Thanks, of course, to Janine and Christina and everybody else that keeps things going.
That's all I got.